Amen. Good morning, everybody. How are you? If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love God's Word here. We want to have you follow along. We are in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, first book of the New Testament. I don't know about you this morning, but I have a heavy heart. It just seems as though, yes, it's Christmas time, but yet there's this melancholy feeling that I have. And I think part of it is the world situation. Part of it is those in San Bernardino whose Christmas has changed. For the relatives that are left behind, I know a lot of those that will be singing, "I'll be home for Christmas," that are in heaven. But at the same time, my heart is really heavy with what we see going on in our world. And, you know, I look at the red and the green. I wonder, where did that come from, Christmas time? And I look at the red as representing the blood of Jesus Christ, who came at Christmas time to shed his blood for us. And the green I look at as the resurrection. You know, if you're from Washington, that's the evergreen state, and you know those trees up there are evergreen, aren't they? And it's to me a picture of life. And again, when I look at the tree, and it's okay to have a Christmas tree, we're not legalistic here. It's all in what it represents to us. And I think of the tree that was on Mount Calvary that Jesus Christ shed his blood on for you and I. And so we have a lot to be thankful for. But at the same time, there's a lot of hurt, a lot of heartache, a lot of devastation going on in the world, even within our own nation. And if there's ever a time for us as Christians to share the greatest gift, which is love, the gift that no one can take away, the gift that will last eternally, it's now. And I would encourage you, when you get together with your family and friends and loved ones in these gatherings, it's a wonderful time just to give thanks. Tell them how thankful you are for them. And how much you love them, because who knows what next year might hold for every one of us. Who knows what next Christmas will hold for us. I would hope that we'll all be singing, "I'll be home for Christmas," and the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, but in the meantime. And, you know, it is a time of pondering what life is all about. So give thanks for your loved ones and embrace them and hug them. I've talked to a lot of people here this morning that are just so excited to get together with family. And yeah, the trees are nice and the presents are nice, but you know what? Our loved ones, that's just a wonderful time just to spend with them. The one man at San Bernardino that had six children goes to my daughter's church. And I know their pastor, Rod, and he had to go and tell those six kids that daddy wasn't going to come home. And it just so happened that daddy lit the Advent candle 5 days before he went home to be with Jesus. And it was a candle of hope that he lit. So you never know. Take advantage of every second to love one another. All the other stuff, superficial. You know. And so this morning we have the most wonderful story in the history of mankind, where God fulfills his promise through Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. And so we're going to see how this culminates, if you would, according to God's incredible plan, hundreds of years prior to the story that we have here. God said how it would take place, where it would take place, and that's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago. Last week, we saw ancestry.God, if you would. We saw the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, both racially and royally, how God's plan is absolutely perfect, even with all the names we can't pronounce and all of the begots and begots, and praise God that he sent us his only begotten son, that we might be begotten by him through his death on the cross. So let's look at verses 18 to 25. Short section. Let's see what the Lord has for us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that even in the midst of a world filled with turmoil, we have peace that surpasses all understanding. We have promises, Lord, thousands of promises in this precious book. And at this time of the year, may we just cleave to these promises. I know there are many here that are hurting. Many that at this time of the year, it's not necessarily the season to be jolly. But we can have joy because that's a fruit of the Spirit. And that comes from you. And I pray that you would be the God of all comfort with every heavy heart here this morning. That you would lift them up. That we would be sensitive to others. And that we would recognize that maybe they need a hug or a prayer, a word of encouragement, whatever it might be, God. So may we be sensitive to others. And may we show your love like never before. That's the greatest gift of all because God is love. And so this morning, through your word, speak to us, I pray. I know for many that this is a familiar story. It's a beautiful story. And let us approach it this morning in a fresh way, Lord, as we look at the life of Joseph. I was thinking this week, oftentimes he's just kind of behind the scenes and doesn't get a whole lot of credit, but there's a lot of things that we see here, even in this text this morning, that show that Joseph was not only just a man, but he was a just man, and there's a difference there. So encourage us, speak to us, strengthen our faith through your word. Thank you, Father, for the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, verse 18, this is what the word of the Lord says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And so last week, in the first 17 verses, we looked at a very, very important part of Scripture, didn't we? It's the genealogy of the Messiah, showing Jesus Christ's claim to the throne. Why? Because there are a lot of things that were prophesied, especially in his lineage, that the Messiah would have to fulfill perfectly, 100%, both racially and royally. Now, racially, it began with Abraham, father of faith, Isaac and Jacob. Abraham being the father of the Jews. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what the Pharisees told Jesus. Well, we have Abraham. Royally, he came through the throne of King David. Again, prophesied, fulfilling all of the old prophecies concerning Christ's lineage, absolutely perfectly. As a matter of fact, God so closed the door that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD and all the genealogies were burned up and just slammed the door shut because Jesus Christ had fulfilled them all. And so, concerning Christ's lineage, we see all the way up to Joseph here, the husband of Mary in verse 16. And in Luke 2, verse 4, it tells us that Joseph was of the house and lineage of King David, proving that he too is part of the family tree. So this young man by the name of Joseph included perfectly in the genealogy of the Messiah. Now, Scripture makes it very clear that Joseph is the husband of Mary in verse 16, not the father of Jesus. And that Mary was with child, verse 18, of the Holy Spirit. And that's important as well. You see, the fact that Mary was a virgin is confirmed by an angel of the Lord in verses 20 to 23, as well as by a doctor. Isn't it wonderful that God even includes a doctor to prove that the virgin birth is true? Dr. Luke, who is the writer of the Gospel of Luke, and he talks about the virgin birth as well as the book of Acts. Now, isn't it wonderful? I just look at Luke's life and I think, what a blessing for him that he would be there and, you know, give the seal of approval on the birth certificate, if you would, of the Messiah. And also, in the book of Acts, he would, not only in his gospel, at the end of the gospel, he would speak of his death and burial, but then Dr. Luke tears up the death certificate and Jesus Christ is risen and resurrected. And in the gospel, in the book of Acts, he also writes about Jesus' ascension into heaven, all with the doctor's approval, if you would. And so, why is the virgin birth so important? Man, you talk about a controversial subject even to this very day. Why is the virgin birth so important? Well, for a number of extremely important reasons. Number one, Jesus was born without sin that entered into the world through Adam. In the New Testament, Jesus is actually called the second Adam. The first Adam sinned and fell. The second Adam, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was without sin because he was conceived of the person of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, Jesus was holy. He was not born through the seed of man because the seed of man, of course, had fallen. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, God's Son, had to be free from the sinful nature passed on to the whole human race by Adam. And there's only one way that this could take place, through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ was born of a woman, we see, of the Holy Spirit, he is both fully human and fully divine as the Son of God. And that's why it is so, so important, isn't it? And because he was both God and man, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 tells us, he can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God that is so close to us and so intimate with us that he is acquainted with our griefs and sorrows? He can sympathize with us. He knows exactly what's going on in your life and he knows exactly what you need at the time. He can sympathize with us. He's not just some cosmic God off out somewhere that could care less about us little specks of dust here on earth. That's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us, and he lives in us. There's nothing more miraculous, the greatest gift of all. But you look at all of the clutter today and, you know, in America and throughout the world with all these things you got to have. You got to have, you know, so that you can celebrate Christmas. No, the only true way to celebrate Christmas is to have the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. I don't like the Xmas thing, but you know what? If you're celebrating Christmas without Christ, you've got an Xmas. He's been eliminated. Just take that X and turn it sideways and it's the cross. And with the cross of Jesus Christ, we can celebrate Christmas, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so Hebrews tells us, as the writer goes on, and he allows us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't it wonderful? Mercy. Mercy. And grace in time of need. As I look around this congregation this morning, we're all in tremendous need of mercy and grace, aren't we? Every single one of us. You can never get enough of it. We need it all day, every day, as much as we can possibly get. And so in Matthew's account, He writes in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. And as I mentioned last week, God used a Jew to write to the Jews about their Jewish Messiah. And again, someone this morning asked me, why are we celebrating Christmas up in a Jewish temple? And I said, oy vey, because Christmas is Jewish, 100% Jewish. Mary Jewish, Joseph Jewish, Jesus Jewish. Amen. And then when Mary and Joseph take Jesus to have him dedicated, where'd they take him? To the temple, to Simeon, who was looking for the Messiah, and he rejoiced when he got to hold the Christ child. He knew that his time on earth was finished, and he was going home to heaven. And so it's all perfect. And so I find it a great joy and privilege to be able to go up and celebrate Christ, the Messiah, in the temple. Do they believe in Jesus up there? No. But maybe they'll have the speakers on in the offices or something while we're having our service. And the rabbi and I are very close. I love him. He loves me. And we just plant and water as believers, and hopefully that they'll be able to see who he really is. And so Matthew says, this is how it was, as follows. This is exactly how Messiah was born. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So it was after his mother Mary's engagement to Joseph, before they had marital relations, while she was still a virgin, that she became pregnant with a child through the power of the Holy Spirit. What a miracle. I'm sure for hundreds of years prior, to Isaiah penning those precious words, a lot of those guys just scratched their heads wondering, what is this all about? And here we see the fulfillment. Is this nothing short of miraculous that God would choose a plan of redemption and choose to do it this way? Now, Jewish marriage is unlike westernized marriage. Jewish marriage involves three steps. Step number one is the kiddushin, where it was often that the parents were the ones that arranged the marriage, the engagement, and sometimes at a very young age. I look at that and I chuckle. I think, as little kids, you could really threaten your son. If you don't be good, see that little girl over there is always pulling your hair and stuff, Yeah. That one that's always beating up on you. I know a lot of us guys got beat up by girls in kindergarten and, first, second, third grade. And if you're not good, kiddushin, right here. And I'm not kidding about the kiddushin. So the parents oftentimes arranged the marriage. And you know what? That's not a bad idea. Why? Because it was so they wouldn't marry outside the faith. I think it's important to you as believers today, you single people, don't marry outside of the faith. God still says what he means and means what he says today about being unequally yoked. I've had a lot of young people come into my office and try to convince me, oh, this is different. My situation's different. I'm going to lead him or her to Jesus. And lo and behold, here it comes about a year or so later, just this train wreck. I don't say I told you so, because they're already, dealing with a lot of pain and tears and grief and sorrow because Mr. Wonderful wasn't so wonderful after all, or Miss Wonderful. The second step was a public announcement of the engagement. At this point, the couple was officially engaged when they would blow the shofar and people would be coming, the bridegroom is coming, the bridegroom is coming. And it's a picture of the rapture of the church when the bride will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air when the trumpet is sound. And we will go to meet our bridegroom at the wedding supper of the Lamb one day. What a glorious day that's going to be. But here's the key, and I always say this when I talk about the wedding supper of the Lamb. You will not be there unless you RSVP in advance. And the way to RSVP is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And that's so important, isn't it? Because while there's 7 years of the wedding supper going on in heaven, there will be 7 years of tribulation here on earth. You don't want to be left behind. Thirdly, was the huppah. That was the marriage ceremony itself. And they still celebrate it in this way in the Jewish culture today. And so it's because Mary and Joseph were in the second step, as we see here in verse 18. And Mary was pregnant, and neither of them had had sexual relations. Matthew makes that very clear, that Joseph is faced with the most difficult decision of his young life. Look at verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, that is the kiddushin, because the engagement, the kiddushin, was considered just as binding as marriage. And Joseph, being her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Wow. This is pretty scary stuff. In those days, if a woman came up pregnant without being married, her and the young man were taken outside of the city gates and stoned to death. And how sad it is, marriage and children is taken so lightly in America today. Do you know that 46% of babies born in America today are out of wedlock? Almost half. How sad. God wants young couples to enjoy marriage and enjoy having children and enjoy a gift that God has given them. And so we see here, it's like, this is pretty scary for Mary and Joseph, because they knew the consequences of what the book of Deuteronomy said. They knew what the law said. And so here we are in verse 19. Explain this one, Joe. What is certainly evident now publicly carried with it severe consequences, and they knew that. And you can imagine people saying, oh, yeah, Mary's a virgin. Sure, man. Sure, Joseph, really, come on. Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 and 24 says, if a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man in the city lies with her, then you will bring them both outside the city gates and stone them to death with stones. See, Joseph knew that he was innocent. He wasn't involved. And by the way, this is an important thing as well. Abstinence with young men. You know, there's a lot of talk about it over the years, you know, ever since our fifth grade, you know, sex education class, where oftentimes it was the girls that were to remain pure. But you know what? Purity, abstinence is very, very, very important in young men as well. We don't hear a whole lot about that today. I love my brother Tim Tebow, and he's getting a lot of heat because he is saving himself for marriage. And I think it's really, really important, you young people, to take a lesson from Joseph and from Mary. And if you have made a wrong choice, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And God is the God of second chances. You don't have to live a life of condemnation. Every single one of us has made mistakes and wrong choices in this room. But I think if you're young and you are a child of God and a Christian, I think it's very, very important to live it out, to live a pure life. So here's Joseph. Oy vey. Mary's pregnant. And I have to believe that here, when he gets this invitation, visitation, if you would, from the angel, I think he's probably going through a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of turmoil and struggles and tossing and turning. And he knew for sure that he wasn't the father. I wonder what it was like. We don't get the conversation between Mary and Joseph of when she told him that she was pregnant and it was of the Holy Spirit. And by right, he could have, as we see here, had her taken out of the city and stoned to death. That was one of the options. Interesting. Joseph is one that we rarely hear much about in Scripture, but look at what this young man is having to deal with right now. His life and his love will speak volumes here in a moment. His life and his love, how he as a young man deals with this situation. Verse 19 tells us that he was a just man. It does not say that he was just a man, but that he was a just man. And that should be true for not only the young men, but also for the older Christian men. Are you just a man or are you a just man? What does it mean to be a just man? I'm glad you asked. It means that you have a right standing before God in the way that you live your life. That's what it means to be a just man. And there's a lot of us that in our BC days, we were just men. But we are to be just men. It also means to be fair and to be righteous. As a young man, Joseph had very strong beliefs, and we're going to see that acted out here in a moment. He had strong beliefs. It has been said, I love this quote, "The strength of what we believe is measured by how much we are willing to suffer for those beliefs." You see, in this world, it's not easy to live a just life. Look what happens, persecution. There's a lot of suffering going on with those men and women in this world that want to live godly lives, that want to live holy lives. Joseph loved her so much, verse 19 says, that he, being a just man, he didn't want to make her a public example. He was minded to put her away secretly. That's how much he loved Mary. I can't imagine this wonderful, pure, holy relationship that they had and their engagement with one another, when all of a sudden his world comes crashing down. How would you respond as a young man? Anger? Rage? Accusations? He didn't want to make her a public example. That's what love is. You see, love covers a multitude of sins. How do you treat those situations that are hard situations like this? Do you get angry? Are you short-fused? Do you go into a fit of rage? Or do you protect that other person's reputation? That's important, to guard a person's reputation. Secondly, it says he was minded to put her away secretly. Secretly, so that no one would know. He loved her that much. Of course, this was in the days when there wasn't social media. Facebook and all this other stuff, Twitter, tweet. Man, if the gospel spread as fast as the gossip in this world, we'd have a lot more people saved, I believe. How sad it is that people are more concerned with trashing others than protecting their reputation, guarding their reputation. I don't think there's any of us in this room that would like our sins written on the front page of the Desert Sun. Dates and times. That'd be pretty scary, wouldn't it? So we have to be very, very careful, especially in the body of Christ, not to make people that are struggling or falling or tripping or stumbling a public example to everybody. And to put them away secretly. Be there for them, love them, encourage them. Joseph not only tried to do what was right, he also tried to do it the right way. It's one thing to know what is right, but it's another thing to do it. And oftentimes it takes sacrifice, doesn't it? Sometimes we have to take a hit for doing what is right and not being concerned about what other people might say or think. I love this guy. Can't wait to meet him in heaven one day. Especially since we both have the same name, Joseph. Hey, Joe, what do you know? He felt he had to break the engagement. He was determined to guard her heart, though, at the same time, and not to cause her public shame. He intended to act with justice and with love. Do you know you can do both? You can act with justice, do what God's word says. But also, it's important to act with love. But at the same time, it doesn't make the situation any easier. It's not going away. Can you imagine what this young man had to deal with? Have you ever had something that was really, really burdening you to the point that you just can't get it out of your mind? You just, everywhere you go, 24/7, hamster wheel, you wake up in the middle of the night, man, I just can't let it go. I can imagine this is what was going on in this young man's life, in his heart, and in his mind. And like you and I sometimes think, Lord, I've been trying to do it right all this time. Lord, I love you. I walk with you. And how did I ever get here? God allowed him to be here. And we're going to see, if you would, the rest of the story. He's faced with a difficult choice. Mary's pregnant. The love of my life. All of our hopes and dreams that we had together, the hours that we spent together just talking about the wonderful things that marriage holds, shattered, dashed upon the rocks. Just in one moment, in one statement from Mary, "Joseph, I'm pregnant." Joseph truly believed that he had two options, and this is where the title of the message comes from this morning. Joseph felt he had two options. Have Mary and the baby stoned to death. That's what the law said. How sad is that? Or divorce her and put her away secretly, as over and over and over and over in his mind, he just couldn't get rid of it, just couldn't let it go. And as often as is the case, God gives Joseph a third option. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for third options? Sometimes in the midnight hour, and that's what happened with Joseph here. Whew, man. How often do we as Christians limit God's options? I've done it. I've heard people pray it. "Lord, I've got this, and you got to do it this way or that way." Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, you give him two options. Isn't that nice? But you know, sometimes the best way that he can show us his mighty hand is to do it his way and not ours. Because if we call the shot and he does it our way, who gets the glory? He doesn't, we do. And then people think, "Oh man, that's a man of prayer there. Look at what he told God what to do and God pulled it off." No, don't limit God's options. God many times shows us that there are more options available. More than we can even imagine. More than, as Paul said, more than we can ever think or ask. So in the nick of time, an angel shows up. And guess what? This is the third option. Let's see what it is. Look at verse 20. "But while he thought about these things," I bet he was doing a lot of thinking, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph,'" notice he even knew his name, "'son of David,'" lineage, "'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Whew. Can you imagine? There he was, probably cold sweats. You ever had stress like that? Cold sweats at night? Joseph was at the place in his life where he was even thinking about these circumstances in his own sleep. And it was while he was dreaming that he had a visit from an angel. Now, because the conception and the birth of Jesus Christ are supernatural events, beyond human logic and beyond human reasoning, God sends an angel to bring him the news, to help him understand the significance of what is happening. And when the angel comes, what does he have? First of all, peace. "Don't be afraid, Joe." And secondly, he's going to bring him the word and the promise of God. Now, there are many times as a pastor, people come to me and say, "Pastor Joe, I got a situation in my life, a job choice or moving or whatever it might be. How do I know God's will for my life?" We have two of those ways of knowing right here. Number one, do you have a peace about it? Secondly, is it confirmed by the word of God? That's important. And so what happens here? First thing the angel says, "Don't be afraid." Peace. God sends an angel to help him understand really what's going on here. And you know what? God knows just what we need and exactly when we need it. His timing is always perfect. And sometimes, you know, today is a fast track, fast food, fast, I want it now society. But you know what? Sometimes he makes us wait. And God's delays are not necessarily denials. We have to wait. We have to pray it through. What kind of a Christian life do you suppose we would have if every time we asked for something, God gave it to us? Well, you can have an earthly example of that with your own kids. Go ahead and give them everything they want whenever they want it and see what happens to them. God wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. He wants us to trust him with every situation. And sometimes he makes us squirm a little bit, doesn't he? Sometimes we have to wait. You see, angels are ministering spirits, and God sends a ministering spirit to Joseph. He created angels for a number of reasons, and I've got some listed here. And it's pretty cool the way God uses angels to carry out his work here on earth. In Scripture, oftentimes, like in Luke 1:11, Zechariah, Luke 1:26, with Mary, the angels will bring a message to God's people. In Daniel 6:22, we see angels protecting God's people. In Acts 27, we see an angel encouraging Paul. We saw a couple of weeks ago when Paul was in the midst of a shipwreck. They sent encouragement. In Exodus 14:19, in the wilderness, God gave guidance to the children of Israel by an angel of the Lord. God carries out punishment, 2 Samuel 24:16. God patrols the earth, Zechariah 1:9, through angels. 2 Kings 6, God fights the forces of evil with angels. And so angels are really, really important, aren't they? Oftentimes we don't realize how close they are to us, and oftentimes we don't realize what they protect us from at times and how God uses them in tremendous ways. One of my favorite Christmas time movies, of course. Clarence, you know, another angel got his wings. We're never to worship angels. Be very, very careful. There's a movement throughout the world called angelology where people actually worship angels. Be very, very careful. Why? Because one third of the angels fell with Lucifer from heaven, and they are known as demons. And they disguise themselves as angels of light. So you have to be very, very careful. Now, have you ever noticed that people in the Bible who were confronted by God or his angels all had one consistent response, just like Joseph here? Joseph must have been fearful. Why? Because the angel said, "Do not be afraid." And I find every instance in Scripture where either God confronts people or an angel confronts people, they're fearful, big time. Abraham was, Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah, Daniel, Zechariah, Mary, the shepherds, Peter, Paul, John, and now Joseph. Fear. I think it's important to realize and to recognize that God is holy. And those that minister, ministering spirits for God, you know, there should be a tremendous reverence for God and for these things that we find here in Scripture. Even a just man like Joseph was fearful. I hear people all the time say, "Man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to, you know, tell God this and tell God that." And every instance I find in Scripture, they're flat on their face. Look at John in the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is holy, and one day we shall see him face to face. But here we see, "Do not be afraid." Look at the second part of verse 20. "Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." What must that have been like for Joseph? Oh, man. He was probably doing the hallelujah chorus, man, jumping for joy and excitement because all of a sudden this fear and all that he had been dealing with because of Mary's being pregnant. Can you imagine just what was lifted from him at this particular time? I experienced a small portion of what that feels like the day that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. It was absolutely incredible. We don't walk by feeling. But you know what? It felt like this 500-pound weight was taken off of my shoulders, and I felt that Satan didn't have me any longer. I now belong to God. When I said, "In Jesus' name I pray, amen," after I prayed the sinner's prayer. Did you feel that way? You feel all of the guilt and the shame and all of that is just lifted from us. Not that we're perfect. Again, we try to reload, don't we, after we get saved. No, we've got to continue to confess our sin. Keep it off. You know, don't walk around like little Pigpen and Charlie Brown. We have to keep our lives clean. But after Joseph's near cardiac arrest, the angel assures him. Isn't that wonderful? To have that assurance, the same assurance that we have today. That yes, God loves us. Yes, he has a wonderful plan for us. Yes, and yes, yes, yes. All through the wonderful promises that we have. And what does he assure him with? Number one, he can get married. Praise God. Take Mary as your wife, Joseph. Secondly, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. More burden lifted, thank you, Jesus. And thirdly, he says it's a boy. Didn't have to do the sonogram thing here, you know? In didn't even have to do the pregnancy test. He shall be called Jesus. Is there any sweeter name in all of history than Jesus Christ? None. Didn't it take on a whole new meaning and just a whole new sound after you got saved? You know, we used to use it in a derogatory manner and all. And all of a sudden, when he became my personal Lord and Savior, it is the sweetest name of all. Isn't it wonderful, the name of Jesus? There's no other name under heaven like the name of Jesus Christ. And there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. Why? Because the angel says here, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, that's all inclusive. When it says he shall save his people from their sins, that includes Mary and Joseph because they were sinners. I know some people get offended when they hear that Mary was a sinner. But in Luke's gospel, she says, God, my Savior, because Mary needed a Savior as well, and Joseph. And God doesn't grade on a curve. We know that they were sinners because, like us, they were born into sin. And so the angel backs it up with the Word of God, Isaiah 7:14. Look at verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now people go, wait a minute now. Didn't he say his name would be Jesus? Now it says his name is Emmanuel. You know what? You're absolutely right. Jesus is his name. Emmanuel is his title. God with us. His name means Jehovah is salvation. He is the Savior. He will save us from our sins. And Emmanuel proves his deity. This is his title. He is God with us. Praise the Lord, and he lives within us. So isn't it wonderful? Joseph's first two options didn't work, even though he felt that that was what God might do. But how about this third option? Aren't third options wonderful? That's what grace is all about. The third option. Joseph, Mary has the Son of God, the Savior of the world in her womb. Now, ladies, what must that have been like? Those of you that have born children, can you imagine carrying God in your womb? How incredible is that? I can't even imagine. You know, with your first one, you're always nervous anyway, right, ladies? And you just everywhere you go, watch every step. And, you know, second one comes along, it's cool, you know. But to have God in your womb. Now, let me take it a step further. If you are born again, you have God in your heart. So how careful are you of the temple of the Holy Spirit? Where do we take this temple? Where do we take our bodies? What do we allow in our ears, in our eyes, and into our hearts? Pretty scary. She's the very one, the angel says, that Isaiah spoke of. And he gave Joseph the scripture verse. I'm sure Joseph was very much familiar with it because he was a just man. And he knew the word of God. His very name speaks of why he is coming. He's coming to save. That is the Christmas message. He came to save us from our sins. Man, how did we get here? How did we get here with what Christmas means to many people? Wow. I put a big banner in my front yard yesterday. Christ the Savior is born. And I thought, man, they're probably going to blow my house up in my neighborhood. Do you feel that way when you put stuff like that out there? It's in big white letters, man. Christ the Savior is born. You know? When it comes to ho, 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 it's ho, 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 Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But man, we got all this stuff, huh? The greatest gift of all is being overlooked. There's a young man at the mall that's giving out free Bibles. Have you seen him? He's got a sign, free Bibles. And when I introduce myself, I see him every year, we talk. And I stood back and I watched people's response for a free Bible. For the words of eternal life. The book that can lead them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you would not have believed the responses. Sneers and scorning and comments. How sad is that, man? I'm headed for Jared's. I got to get that diamond. But yet they're rejecting the pearl of great price. the only everlasting gift. Think about it. All the gifts you've had in your lifetime for Christmas, even as a kid. That's why you go on eBay. And when you get a bike that you had, you know, that cost 10 bucks 50, 60, 70 years ago, now it's worth about 5,000. You know why? It's because you can't keep it. You can't hold on to it. Nostalgia. But you know what? The greatest gift of all will never fade. One size fits all. You never take it and stand in the exchange line. Man, I'm keeping it. It's mine. Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. Man, we need to reevaluate some things, our priorities. Only Jesus can save. What must it have been like for Joseph? And that's why I wanted to spend a little bit more time on Joseph, because I think he's a very, very important part of the story. What must this have been like for Joseph? First of all, relief, tears of joy, excitement, elation. Mary's okay. She's going to be my wife. She's carrying in her womb her Savior, my Savior, the Savior of the world. And I get to be his stepfather? How amazing is that? How amazing is that? Now, you got to be very, very careful because there's a movie out right now that tells all about Jesus from the time he was a baby up until he was a teenager. And nothing in Scripture tells us only when he was 12 years old. Be very, very careful of what they show in the theaters today. It's just bogus. When I saw the commercials, the previews at the show, it was creepy because it wasn't biblical. To this day, throughout all eternity, Jesus, Emmanuel, will be with us. I'm sure Joseph was saying, and he rejoicing. Next week, we're going to take a little bit closer look at Mary because she comes more into the text and into the Scripture. But what an incredible miracle this was for Joseph. And very possibly, he may have just thought, you know, I only had two options, and God gave me a third. There has been a time, I'm sure, in his life when he heard the news that this is it. Pretty clear that one way or another, there's going to be no hope for Mary and I for the future. But isn't it wonderful that the angel said, take Mary as your wife. Now, Joseph and Mary have an incredible future. It won't be easy for these kids, as we know, because Simeon would tell Mary that a sword would pierce her heart. She went through a lot of grief and pain and sorrow. There's a cost, but I'm sure there were many, 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 many blessings in her life and in the life of Joseph. But look at this third option. Isn't it incredible? Have you exercised your third option? Some people live under the law. Some people live with religion. Some people live with their own agenda, make their own choices. But you know what? The third option is the all-important. God with us, Emmanuel. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift of all. If you really want to have a Merry Christmas, God takes it a step further because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. I don't know how many times I sang that in the world, in the flesh, and didn't realize what I was singing. Why? Because what does the next verse say? Let every heart prepare him room. Meaning that you have to exercise your free will with that third option and let your heart make room for him. Why? Because you have a free will. And it's up to you whether or not you receive the greatest Christmas gift of all. It's a choice. You see, if I were to give you a gift all wrapped up really nice, ribbons and bows and all, and you never received it, guess what? It doesn't become a gift. A gift has to be received. And it has to be opened up. You need to open up your heart and receive God's greatest, greatest gift. And if you don't have one thing under the tree this Christmas and you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you've got everything, my friend. And no one can steal it off your porch like some of these packages. It's Christmas. Isn't it a joyous season for many people? You leave your presents out there, they'll steal them. Merry Christmas, Joseph. Merry Christmas, Mary, the gift of my son. And the gift of marriage. That's another thing. Joseph and Mary loved one another. Their heart's desire was holy matrimony. Do you, as a married man, still treat your marriage as a gift? Do you, as a married woman, still treasure and treat your marriage as a gift? It is a gift from God. It is a gift from heaven. And we should never take it lightly. It is a precious gift. And how about the gift of salvation? Have you received the gift of salvation? That's important. God is with them. God is with us to this very day. He's present to this day and lives in the heart of all who would believe. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. You need to open up your heart and let him in. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, no doubt, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Again, we don't see what Scripture says about when they finally joined up again, Mary and Joseph. How exciting must that have been? Because Joseph knew that it was of the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure Mary was relieved. And there they are. There had to be tears of joy and just great elation and excitement. And then God's son in her womb at the same time. How incredible is that? What a miracle. Joseph, because of God's eternal plan, because of the third option, your plans have now been changed. Isn't it great when God changes their plans? Yeah. It wouldn't be very exciting if we called the shots. We tried that in our BC days, didn't we? But it's so wonderful, yes, to have a plan. We are to have a vision. And yes, we're to obey God's word. And yes, we walk by faith. But it's so wonderful to see when God has a third plan. When God decides to do it a different way. And you know what? A lot of people miss out on their faith being strengthened because they are so rigid and so locked into their way that they don't get to see the hand of God. Be flexible. It's so important to be flexible. Keep your itinerary open. Yeah, have an itinerary, have plans, but keep it open-ended. Otherwise, you're going to be frustrated and you're going to be bummed out and look like you're baptized in pickle juice. And where's your joy, man? Well, God didn't do this or God didn't do that. He doesn't love me. The Eeyore Christian, you know, oh me, oh my. Joseph's plans change. And isn't this a wonderful plan, would you say? Isn't this an incredible plan? And the day that we receive God's precious gift, the gift of His Son, our plans all change. But that's a good thing. Your destination has changed, and that's even a better thing, isn't it? From smoking to non-smoking, we get to go to heaven. In those times, as a child of God, you know, it's important to do what's right. Yes, do what's right. But don't worry about what others may think. You see, we walk contrary to the things of this world. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. We walk according to His Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? We must obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. And if you're out to win a popularity contest in this world as a Christian, it will never happen. We have to walk by faith. You know what faith is? Faith is meaning maybe it doesn't look right and maybe it doesn't feel right. But God says, this is right. And we're to walk by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit and in obedience. You see, Joseph was biblically sound, not politically correct. He knew God. He knew God's word. He was a just man. And it's so important that we realize and recognize that. Joseph did what he was told. You see that right there in verse 24? He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. It's so important that we obey God, obey His word. He did what he was told. Imagine. There's no telling what would have happened in Joseph's life if he disobeyed. God still would have carried out his plan, but Joseph's life would have been different, wouldn't it? We have to be very, very careful in the choices that we make. Choices determine many things within our lives. If he put Mary away secretly, what would have happened to Joseph? He too would have been put away from Matthew chapter 1. Wouldn't have been included. God certainly would have fulfilled his plan, but Joseph may not have been part of it. And Joseph obeyed in every way. He didn't walk by feeling. He walked by faith. You know, choices, daily choices affect our lives, don't they? They affect our lives in an incredible way. How about you this morning? Are you more concerned with man's approval or God's approval? Are you more concerned with pleasing man or pleasing God?
Wonderful sister in the Lord the other day said, you know what I do when people say to me, happy holidays? I ask them, what holiday? Go for it. What holiday are you talking about? And if they're out doing Christmas shopping, guess what holiday it is? And if it's Hanukkah, that's cool too. Oh yeah, I think Hanukkah is a beautiful holiday. All of the lights. But the holiday I celebrate is even better because I worship the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Take the opportunity. I know I get ripped when it's happy holidays, but now I'm going to ask them, what holiday are you talking about? You bust them right there, right? And they have to say, Christmas. Wedding bells, praise God. How quickly do you suppose he rose from his sleep? Mary, here I come. Wow. Did he immediately take her as his wife? I would think so. Yes, sir. Hello, Pastor. This is Joe. We're ready to go. Verse 25. And did not know her. He did not have physical relations till she brought forth her firstborn son. Notice it says her firstborn son, not his, because he wasn't the dad. Her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. And so we see here, he kept her a virgin, did not have marital relations with her until after she had brought forth her firstborn son. Now, again, false doctrine tells you that Mary remained a perpetual virgin. That is not biblical. Matthew 12:46, Matthew 13:55, Mark 6:3 tells us that Mary and Joseph had other sons and daughters. Two of their sons, Jesus' half-brothers, wrote two different books in the New Testament, the Epistle of James and the Epistle of Jude. And the amazing thing is that neither James nor Jude believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah till after the resurrection. Which means be patient with your loved ones too. Yeah, give them time. And as a final act of obedience, called his name Jesus. As far as Joseph's life from here on, we know very little about him. But you know, what we've seen just this morning is incredible. What an incredible young man he was. But the little that we do know is impressive for a young man. Number one, we saw that he was just, right? At a young age. Where are the young, just men today? Secondly, he was obedient. He wasn't a rebel. Thirdly, he didn't limit God's options. Believed the word of God, trusted God, walked by faith. We're going to see him three more times in Scripture. Three brief occasions. Luke 2:22, we'll see him at the dedication in the temple with Simeon. Matthew 2, their flight to Egypt. Luke 2:42. When Jesus is 12 years old. And again, you don't see anything in between. We have no idea when Joseph died or how he died. Scripture doesn't tell us. Scripture's silent, we're silent. But it's interesting. When we look at the life of Mary, and all the years that I've taught this section of Scripture and the Christmas story and all, you always learn something new, don't you? Maybe you already know this, but this, the light went on with this one. I thought, wow, this is interesting. Mary was the only human present for all four of these events. His birth, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. She was the only human being present for all four of those. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. You already knew that, right? Yeah. You guys are Bereans, students of the word. But isn't it? I get goosebumps when I think about that. There was a tremendous price to pay for carrying the Messiah in her womb, for being the mother of Jesus Christ. His birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. As I close, have you taken the all-important option in your life? Salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Have you exercised your free will to receive him as your Messiah? He shall save his people from their sins. Where are your sins this morning? Are they on Jesus Christ or are they on you? There are only one or two places. Your sins are either on you or they're on that cross 2,000 years on Mount Calvary. Do you have the greatest gift of all? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is Christmas, my friend. God with us. He shall save you from your sins. And if you don't have that gift, if you're not sure, God wants to give you that gift right now, today. Because today is the day of salvation. And if you would like to pray to receive the greatest gift of all, I'd like you to stand quickly. Don't be embarrassed. Rejoice that God has spoken to you through His Spirit and He wants to call you His child. Anyone, as we close, today is the day of salvation. Do you know that you know? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, greatest gift of all. We don't have to celebrate just on December 25th. We can celebrate every second, every hour, every day of our lives now, because we have the greatest gift of all. He fits perfectly right within our hearts. One size fits all. We thank you for His precious blood that was shed for us. May we be mindful of that when we see the red at Christmas time. But at the same time, when we see the green, may we be mindful of the resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed, and He is coming again for His bride. What a glorious day that will be. And Father, I pray for those that are hurting this morning, that are going through difficulties with the loss of a loved one or whatever the situation may be. Lord, lift up their hearts. Give them great joy. May we be sensitive to them and to love them and to pray for them. We do pray, Father, for the family gatherings that many of us will experience here within the next week and a half or so. May we be filled with your love like never before. May we give thanks for every person there. I pray, Lord, that we would be a light for you, that we would be that reflection of you that you call us to be as lights of the world. And so thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the fellowship. We have so much to be thankful for. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand one more time.